Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, a veteran reporter on Afghanistan and the region, and now observing the region as the Afghanistan story turns dark, the non-transparency of the Taliban, if that is to be the future as the past. So, watching this darkness visible, are the capitals in the region of Central Asia and the subcontinent. I begin with Islamabad, capital of Pakistan, because the case is made by significant journalists in America. Steve Cole comes to mind, and his book about Directorate S, that Pakistan's state security, the ISI, and Directorate S inside it, is the creator, the author, the driver, the supplier of the Afghanistan Taliban these many decades. There are reasons for it, but that it's a general understanding. Also, in conversation with former National Security Advisor John Bolton, the concerns for Pakistan's nuclear arsenal, perhaps up to 150 warheads, the concerns now reawaken because the Taliban next door also includes the extreme possibility of terror operating in a ungoverned space in Afghanistan. Right now, there are concerns about a terrorist attack of the remnants of the caliphate, ISIS, at the Kabul airport, but that suggests that there are no certainties about how terror will take advantage of the Taliban's ability to be radical or inability to guard itself from Al-Qaeda or ISIS or other bad actors. And they're right next door to a nuclear arsenal that itself is a product of a country that these last decades has not been clear about which side of the story it lands on, because of its concerns about India, because of its relationship with China. Anatole, I stopped. There are too many caveats here. So your measure right now, the Islamabad government, they're saying we're worried. Is that sincere? Are they worried? Do they have reason to worry about the return of the Taliban?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have reason to worry. Like everybody else, right? But more so because they're next door. But I don't get the sense that they are extremely worried at present because, they have had close relations with the Taliban, and they are also in a very powerful position vis-a-vis the Taliban, and they have common interests with the Taliban in fighting against ISIS in Afghanistan, which actually is largely staffed by Pakistani militants, but they are also bitter rivals of the Taliban in Afghanistan. So that I think Pakistan is watchful, but I suppose I could say this to you, me as a former journalist, you as a journalist, there are journalists in Pakistan who obviously have a certain interest in having headlines with great excitement in them, but I don't get the impression that the Pakistani establishment is in a state of extreme anxiety at present.
And the nuclear arsenal is secure in your measure? There was a lot of talk about this early on against Al-Qaeda. Do you think that is a risk again, given that Islamabad is non-transparent in many cases?
Well, it's certainly non-transparent, but, you know, the Pakistan's nuclear arsenal has been described in private and in public by the Pakistan military as Pakistan's crown jewels. These missiles are very, very well guarded by a very professional Pakistani army. There is certainly absolutely no chance whatsoever that they're going to give them to terrorists. I mean, you know, that would be crazy. I mean, these missiles are to defend Pakistan. So unless Pakistan itself collapses as a state, which seemed possible, 15 years ago, but, you know, Pakistan did defeat its internal insurgency. I don't think Pakistan's nuclear weapons are in any danger of going astray, unless Pakistan really disintegrates again internally. So I don't think myself that we have to worry about that aspect of things. I mean, the thing, of course, we always have to worry about is the possibility of a nuclear war between India and Pakistan over Kashmir. But, you know, that's a different issue.
I go to Beijing next because Beijing is a big investor in Pakistan and works very closely with the Pakistan governance and the military. Beijing's talking about starting diplomatic relations with the Taliban, although it's fog of diplomacy as well. There's also the report that Xi Jinping in Beijing and Vladimir Putin in Moscow have had conversations on the telephone looking to confer in Tajikistan next month, Dushanbe, for a meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is a subset of all of Central Asia. Do you see the Taliban as something that China can influence with its cash and its investments for the Belt and Road?
The Chinese are certainly going to try, but of course it's a reciprocal situation, because on the other hand, the Chinese are going to be very wary of putting any significant amounts of money, certainly any investment, into Afghanistan until they're sure, A, that the Taliban can actually stabilize the country, and B, that the Taliban are not going to allow international terrorism. So I suspect the Chinese will begin with, you know, humanitarian aid, and then see how that goes. And then if things from their point of view go well, then perhaps they will eventually follow up with major investment, for example, in this great copper mine, which the Chinese own on paper but have done nothing to develop, because, of course, nobody but a lunatic would do so, you know, in the middle of a civil war.
There are reports that the Balochistan radicals are the author of at least one terror attack most recently within these last days against Chinese nationals. There were engineers attacked. There was a child that was killed in a second attack. The reason I bring it up is because there are third parties or fourth parties that provide the radicals deniability about who is the author of the attack that can be used to disorder the Chinese. Is it your measure that we're beginning a new chapter of China's vulnerability to the radicals, or, as you say, that China will be cautious and adamant about its investment being tied to good actions, not bad actions?
Well, the Chinese have a lot of people on the ground in Pakistan now, and as you say, I mean, they have been attacked by a variety of different militants and a certain number of them killed. The Chinese, you know, are prepared, I think one can say, to take that risk with lives, and Chinese engineers are notoriously brave and tough. The Chinese, however, are not willing to take that risk with tens of billions of dollars of Chinese state money. And so I think they will watch the situation cautiously. But certainly, I mean, if they do see the Taliban as stabilizing the situation, and if the Taliban do prevent international terrorism, or at least seem to be trying hard, then I think the Chinese might come to see Afghanistan as an important part of Belt and Road, though largely, you know, because of Pakistan's position between Iran, Pakistan, and Central Asia. So it's a potential card for the Chinese, but I think a card that they will want to keep up their sleeve for a considerable time to come.
Let's use our imaginations and attend the Dushanbe meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization meeting next month. And at the table will also be Tehran. So this is a gathering of eagles in the region. I'm told that Tajikistan is adamantly anti-Taliban. I'm told that Moscow knows this and is supporting Tajikistan with military exercises, with aids, with visits by members of the cabinet. Is this a significant factor that Tajikistan is not looking to make peace, but is looking to be on guard along the long frontier with Afghanistan?
Well, the Tajiks, of course, because of their close ties to the Tajiks of Afghanistan, who in the past have been a very anti-Taliban force. Yes, I mean, they are more instinctively hostile to the Taliban than Moscow is. But of course, I mean, what the Tajik government really fears is Islamist rebels crossing the border. Moscow is very much trying to guarantee to support Tajikistan against that with Russian troops and military aid. And I think if the government in Dushanbe feels more secure from that point of view, then it might follow Moscow in seeking to improve relations with the Afghan Taliban. But of course, only as long as they think that the Afghan Taliban are not supporting international extremism, including in Tajikistan. I mean, everybody is really, you know, waiting to see what happens and watching the Taliban, while at the same time, you know, trying to keep lines of communication to them open.
Iran, Tehran, under severe sanctions from the U.S. and other players. Tehran, in negotiation with the Biden administration, on again, off again, can't see through it. Just generally negotiation. Does Tehran have a risk here, especially along the Herat border, and especially because elements of the radicals have routinely attacked Shiites over these years and are likely to launch such attacks again? Or is Tehran looking upon this as an opportunity because it can present itself as a peacekeeper?
Well, Tehran is now really opposed to ISIS, both, of course, because of ISIS's terrible atrocities against Shia in Iraq and Syria, and, you know, deep hostility to the Shia-based governments in those countries, but also the sectarian anti-Shia terrorist attacks in Afghanistan that you mentioned in recent years have been overwhelmingly the work of ISIS. The Taliban does seem to be anxious now, totally unlike its policy, you know, when in power up to 9/11. But the Taliban does seem to be anxious for good relations with Iran. And so they promised Iran to respect the rights of the Shia minority. And so Iran, too, is waiting to see what happens. But if the Taliban were to swing back to really, you know, brutal anti-Shia policies, then I think you would find Iran really trying to support the armed Tajik opposition to the Taliban, and Iran would be doing its utmost to persuade China and Russia to do the same, which I think is perhaps one reason why the Taliban will actually try to stop sectarian attacks, apart from the fact, as I say, that the Taliban are bitter rivals of ISIS, and it's really ISIS who are the sectarian extremists now in Afghanistan.
We mentioned Moscow because of the drugs, because of the opium. That is a constant problem in Tehran. That is a constant problem in the whole region. Vladimir Putin is voicing that his concerns are the smuggling. You've made the point in the past, an excellent one, that it never really stopped and that it prospered under the Americans. Does Moscow here have a reason to look upon the Taliban as hostile until proven innocent? Is that the approach of the Russian establishment?
I think the Russians are more neutral on that because the Russians have recognized that, you know, the Taliban genuinely did crack down on heroin production successfully in 1999 to 2001. Though, of course, I mean, they were only going to do that in the long run if they got money. So the Russians are also approaching this cautiously. I mean, part of the problem is, of course, that compared to either to the Americans or the Chinese, the Russians don't have much money to compensate, you know, the Taliban with for crushing heroin. So the Russians, like the Iranians, are basically trying to influence, well, ultimately the Chinese to buy off the Taliban. But the Chinese don't suffer nearly so much from heroin. And so, you know, they are a pretty hard-headed lot and will not, I think, do a great deal for Afghanistan until the Taliban have proved themselves in certain ways.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. We are looking now to speculate where we go next and what the lessons learned are in this 20-year emergency that now turns into a crisis of evacuation and after. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.